Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, plenty of sunshine once again. We will have a high of about 73. Kenosha right now, 49 degrees, 51 in Burlington, 50 in Milwaukee, also 50 degrees in Racine. The next mayor of the city of Racine is going to be Corey Mason, who defeated longtime alderman Sandy Widener in yesterday's special mayoral election. Mason telling WRJN News he believes his positive messages resonated with the voters.
I think jobs was a big thing, rebuilding the middle class, and I think having a positive vision for the future and what we were going to do for the middle class and what we were going to do for schools and protecting the environment. I think people are looking and wanted to know what we were for and what we wanted to do for the city moving forward.
Widener saying that she believes she got her message out during the shortened campaign, but will end her tenure on the council as of next April.
I had made up my mind that I was either going to step up or step away, because you can only beat your head on the wall so long. And actually, the council to me has become irrelevant. They are simply a rubber stamper for the administration. You'll see that with the budget. Can't fight City Hall.
Mason to fill out the rest of John Dickert's term through April 2019. The unofficial totals, Mason getting 5,356 votes, Widener 4,392. That's a margin of 964, but again, these numbers are unofficial until the Board of Canvassers meets. The breakdown shows that Corey Mason took 30 of the total 36 wards in the city. Smallest gap was to Widener's advantage by one vote each in both District 5, Wards 11 and 12. Biggest gap, Mason winning District 2, Ward 3 by 159 votes, District 2, Ward 4 by 100 votes. In Burlington, the Common Council, with one dissension, approved joining Racine County Joint Dispatch in the next few months, terms negotiated within the existing contract that now covers the east of the interstate municipalities, whose officials will also have to formally accept Burlington into the fold, a move forced on Burlington officials by the July flooding. In Committee of the Whole discussion, City Attorney John Belogic said the original deal was drawn up by the former assistant, now Racine County Corporation Counsel, Michael Lansdorf. The intent, minimal changes if needed.
I'm satisfied with the contract as drafted. If I were to do it fresh, I think you know that I edit a lot, all right? But this is not the time for me to try and edit anything, because I want the other municipalities to be comfortable adopting the modifications made just to allow Burlington into the system.
Alderman Ruth DeWitziak cast the only no vote. She was concerned about the future of the current dispatcher, suggesting they'd be left hanging by this.
These people are every day wondering if they have a job. And the longer this plays out, the higher their stress levels get, and I get it. So in fairness to them, can we give them an idea of, if we have this January 1st date, we're either going to do this all at once, we're going to phase this out, can't we give them something?
No public comment at the council's business meeting, nor any discussion about it last night. It was Alderman Tom Voss who was excused from the meeting, so his vote was not there. Meanwhile, with the decision coming from Burlington last night, there was also a recent decision from a Racine County judge regarding joint dispatch, and that was a dispute that's been ongoing for a while between the county and the city of Racine over staffing issues. County sued the city over failed payment for dispatch services, for which the city claimed the staffing levels had not been met. Judge Emily Miller ruling for the county for the city to pay more than $350,000. Corporation Counsel Michael Lansdorf in a statement saying they're happy to close this chapter and return rightful focus to the men and women performing our critical dispatch services. From the city's perspective, Interim Mayor Dennis Weiser telling the Journal Times that the judge's ruling is going to be reviewed for any possible appeal. In Kenosha, Mayor John Antaramian's proposed 2018 budget, well, he calls it a practical blueprint that'll get the job done. Only major regret, he wishes he could have added more police officers and at least one firefighter. It's an $80 million spending plan, a 2.25% levy increase, a 1.5% increase in expenditures.
So we have kept very tight budgets. We have done everything that is possible to provide the public the best service we can under this budget. And basically, I'm pleased with what we were able to accomplish. We did make changes, and we are slowly changing some of the operations on how we do things to improve those operations.
The capital improvement budget calls for funding on the reconstruction of 22nd Avenue, a multi-year plan to rebuild 60th Street from 39th Avenue to Green Bay Road, No funding, though, to build a downtown parking structure, but the mayor says that process will begin next year. There's also funding for continued work on the Simmons Island Beach House and a long-term project to repair and preserve the Southport Beach House, and there will be multiple flooding control projects included in next year's budget. And in Sturtevant, Village Administrator Mary Cole, presenting her proposed spending plan for next year to the Board of Trustees, says crafting this thing presented some real challenges, some challenges she's never faced before. One of the biggest, finding a way to absorb a 5% decrease in equalized value. That caused a $350,000 shortfall in revenue, and tried to do that without cutting services. Despite the 3% hike in the mill rate, she says the overall tax bill for Sturtevant property owners should remain steady. One substantial increase in insurance costs also presented a challenge for her, according to Cole.
As well as this budget does include a 1% increase in wages for every village employee. We did agree to this in the police contract, so typically in past years, we've just done this across the board. Also, we always have a 3% increase in trash and recycling services.
Proposed budget has a 22-cent increase in the mill rate to $7.69 per 1,000 assessed valuation. Public hearing, November 7th. Final adoption in Sturtevant on the budget will be November the 21st. Police in South Milwaukee say that a 2-year-old girl was taken by her non-custodial father last night. Kenneth Brown, accused also of stealing a 2011 Nissan Quest minivan from the home when he took off with the child, that just before 7 p.m. The van has the Wisconsin license plate of 562-TDH. 562-TDH is the plate. Anyone observing this is urged to call South Milwaukee Police or just call 911 and get the information to them. No Amber Alert, by the way, issued in this particular case from South Milwaukee. Club in question was not named by the Kenosha Unified School Board during a discussion this week, but everybody seemed to agree that a few policy adjustments are needed regarding school fundraising. This coming after some negative attention about a year ago regarding the Kenosha Bradford End Zone Booster Club and its finances. Board members discussing a letter to the PTAs, the PTOs, and various booster groups that emphasizes the need to follow existing district policies to the T. Board member Mary Snyder felt the need for a separate message also to parents.
I know a lot of parents who assume if they go to a PTA meeting and they donate money to the PTA, it's going to the school. Right. And in most cases, it is. I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong.
Right.
It's just that that excuses us of the liability and makes it clearer, I think, for all the groups besides those, that we are not responsible for their finances.
Board member Mike Volkovsky supported the changes, but he also said a balanced approach is needed.
I don't want to intentionally make things harder. I just wanted to make sure that parents have confidence in their booster club. Because you get one club or one bad apple and the rumors start to get out there, like, well, I'm not trusting, you know, that booster or any booster club because the district doesn't seem to want to police these things. So I just want to make sure, because yes, we do. We have our accountability pieces right.
As things stand, outside groups that engage in fundraising activities for the benefit of the district need to get advance permission and submit annual reports. Now, no action was ever taken against the leader of the booster club in question, whose actions were called into question by some of the parents. The club's leadership, meanwhile, has also changed hands. One's leaving, and one's going to take its place, the Racine Zoo losing one of its giraffes. However, WRJN's Janet Hoff says there's a younger male that's going to be stepping in to take over.
Bo, one of the zoo's Maasai giraffes, will be moving to another as yet unnamed zoo to become a breeding partner with the females currently housed at his new location. The Racine Zoo is a member of the Species Survival Plan for Maasai Giraffes within the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. This year, the AZA's breeding recommendation suggested that Bo be transferred to another zoo in an effort to create a stable and genetically diverse population of Maasai giraffe. Over the past 30 years, giraffe populations in the wild have decreased by 40% because of poaching and habitat fragmentation. Bo is expected to leave Racine by the end of the month. The zoo will receive a 3-year-old male Maasai giraffe after Bo's departure. The zoo also has a giraffe named Mac. Janet Hoff, WRGN News.
Burlington's Common Council formally meeting the city's new Director of Public Works last night. Peter Riggs, coming from Illinois, will start the job October the 25th.
Honored to be charged with this position. I'm very much looking forward to being your next Director of Public Works. Very excited to meet the staff. Great resources and facilities here at the City of Burlington, and I know that we can work together and do some amazing things and have some great accomplishments.
Former DPW Director Jim Burglis left around mid-year for the Village of Waterford to replace the retiring DPW Director and where he had been the Assistant Director at one time. Burglis serving in Burlington for about a year and a half. Riggs coming on board. That's the third time in 5 years there's been a leadership change for that department. And just a reminder, a special job fair this afternoon in the city of Kenosha geared at workers without the ability to drive, who just might take advantage of an express bus service out to Pleasant Prairie and Lakeview Corporate Park. The Express Route 35 job fair from 1 to 4 p.m. It's at the Kenosha Transit Center streetcar barn. It features 8 of 10 employers from that industrial park. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.
So state